It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We need you. We need the fans. We need the Auburn family. We need the staff. We need the players. We need everyone in this building that is involved in our program to buy into our core values to drive this train.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over and in. I believe.
Baseball pass, front court, Brian Smith, baseline, 8-footer, in and out, no good. Oh, my goodness, they put it down by Porter. Oh, my goodness. Hello, Abbeville, Alabama, a one-handed slam.
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac to the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac. Go crazy. Touchdown.
Reach it down, he knocked it away. Ball loose on the deck. Throws it back out. Harper gets it. Harper down the floor. Harper shovels it to Brown for three. Yeah!
I tell you, you ain't going to run to get any popcorn if we keep this up.
I knew we could be competitive in men's basketball at Auburn. I didn't think that championships were necessarily in the cards. Auburn's a special place. I had a special team.
Bryce eyes the bucket, spins it up. In and out, no. Rebound, Washington saved it. But Brown is there for three and a quarter. Yeah,
All right.
Auburn leads.
Get back, play some defense now.
We've come a long way. And just grateful for the opportunity. Understand that if it wasn't for Auburn bringing me to be their basketball coach, I never would have the opportunity to realize, obviously, one of my goals as a college coach is to get to the Final Four.
That does it. History has been made. The Auburn Tigers, for the first time ever, are going to the Final Four.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now at 343-0106. Now, here's your host, Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome in to the show tonight, Thursday night Tiger Talk Overtime. Glad that you are with us, and a lot to talk about tonight. Glad you're hanging with us for another hour of Auburn athletics, Auburn basketball, and Auburn football. And we will talk some Auburn basketball tonight, a little bit of basketball talk in the last hour. But we'll get into a little bit more about last night against Texas A&M. Not a great ball game for the Auburn Tigers, and a quick turnaround. As they mentioned, the Tigers going to play at West Virginia on Saturday morning in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. We'll be talking some college basketball tonight and some other items with former Auburn star Ruthie Bolton, Olympic gold medalist. And we'll talk about the Texas A&M game a little bit, the women's program, and a little bit about what Ruthie is doing at present. Also, we're going to talk some football tonight. In the second half of the show, we'll be chatting with the new color analyst for the Auburn Tigers, Jason Campbell, former Auburn quarterback, who joined us a little earlier in the week on War Eagle TV. So we'll be talking about that, and glad you're with us once again on the show tonight. Okay, last night at Neville Arena, the Auburn Tigers off to a quick start against the Aggies. They were up 10-2, 12-2. Really, really good start for the Auburn Tigers. Looked like things were going their way. But the Aggies roared back to take a 45-30 lead at intermission. Their guards shooting the three-pointers over Auburn's defenders. As Bruce Pearl mentioned earlier today, really not bad defense by the Tigers, but Texas A&M making the threes and also beating Auburn, beating Auburn on the dribble to the basket. So the Aggies on to victory over the Tigers last night, and that drops Auburn to 6-2 in the conference, and Texas A&M at 6-1 now. You wondered going into that ball game why Auburn was ranked 15 and Texas A&M not ranked at all when they had virtually the same record except for overall. But you heard some of Bruce Pearl last hour talking about the game. He talked about it a little bit at least, but let's listen into some of his comments after the ball game and the loss to Texas A&M last evening?
Two great guards. Couldn't keep them in front. And they came in and made shots. You know, that's a team that averages 5 threes a game. And has, those guards were shooting, all those guards were shooting about 26% in league play. And Radford was 3 for 7. Taylor was 3 for 5. And some of those shots in the first half were big. They played great. You know, you can't, you got to give them credit. You know, I thought, obviously, we had a hard time staying in front of them. We had a hard time protecting our rim. They're, you know, physical, and, you know, they played great. Texas A&M did not make the NCAA tournament last year. They did not have a strong enough resume through the season. They played really well late, but it wasn't enough. And that, obviously, they came in tonight knowing this was a big opportunity, and they played like it, and they played great. You know, for us, you know, we, you know, they trapped the ball, trapped it out of Wendell's hands. We worked on it all week long, and, you know, we knew that what they would do, and we just we turned it over too many times and weren't able to get out of those traps and play make out of space. So it was unfortunate that our guards weren't able to handle the double team, and they then make more positive plays to get us better looks.
All right, so the thoughts of Coach Bruce Pearl after the ball game last night. So now in the SEC, as far as the way things stand heading into the weekend, and almost all the teams are off for the SEC Big 12 Challenge, off as far as the SEC is concerned. But Alabama out in front in the SEC standings with a record of 8-0. Tennessee is second at 7-1. Texas A&M now 6-1 in third by themselves. Auburn in fourth at 6-2 and 16-4 overall. Then you've got UK and Florida at 5-3. Missouri, pretty good basketball team at 4-4. And then Georgia, Vandy, and Arkansas down there at 3-5. The surprise team in the SEC, perhaps 3-5 and 14-6. The SEC Big 12 Challenge coming up. We'll talk about some of the matchups a little bit later on, but Auburn, West Virginia, Bama, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Baylor, Kansas at Kentucky, to name a few. It should be a great tournament. So we'll be chatting a lot more basketball in the coming minutes, and glad you're with us once again on the show. We're going to be talking some football as well, some interesting comments from Jason Campbell. Earlier in the week, we talked about his new role as the color commentator for the Auburn Tigers as he takes over for Stan White. And we also talked a little bit about the portal and the signing period, some of the players that are coming in to Auburn. So stay with us. When we come back, we'll talk some more basketball with Ruthie Bolton. Really a pleasure to have her with us. And we'll do that when we come back on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. A reminder again that the ball game is right here on FM Talk 106.5 this weekend. Auburn and West Virginia at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, an early start. And don't forget to go by and see our friends at Nixon's on Saturday and watch the ball game there. They have 22 beers on tap and 8 wines on tap, some great sandwiches and wraps and everything you need for the game. They've got pool tables there. Shuffleboard. They've got big screens, of course, to watch the ball game on. It's Nixon's in Midtown, right across from the Dew Drop-In. So go by and see the great folks at Nixon's this weekend. Okay, as I mentioned earlier, great pleasure earlier today to have with me on War Eagle TV one of the great players and ambassadors for the Auburn Tigers in the history of basketball there, in the history of the school. Gold medalist Ruthie Bolton. We talked about a little about the guys program, the girls program. They're playing tonight at Kentucky. And a little bit about what Ruthie is doing now. Let's listen in to a few of her comments. Okay, Ruthie, thanks for joining us. Not a great night for the Tigers last night on the basketball court, but a pretty good season so far in January for Bruce Pearl and the guys. They come out of January with two losses, which is probably better than a lot of people thought.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think one thing about this is sort of the crunch time now, and I think you want to get out the carbwares right now. And I think the thing about season, I think being able to peak at the right time, I was blessed to see them play against Arkansas, and that was a pretty good game. And I think as long as you build, I think as being and playing sports, you can't, you know, you got to build on your win, the great things, and not even you can find something good even in a loss. You know, you say, how do we build on the good things that we're doing well and get better on the other things? So I think, but if you keep going backwards, you get better with your passing, and then two games, and then three games, you're back. You know, you want to show some consistency growing. So I think that's what's important, even for the men, even for the women. And I'm just happy the women finally got a win, I think, against, was it Ole Miss?
Yes.
About a week. Yeah, you know, it just, to me, as an athlete, you just got to get that win so you can learn, so you can start to seeing what winning feels like.
Mm-hmm. And now they're going to Kentucky tonight to play. And then they have Florida, Arkansas, and I think South Carolina again after that. It seems like South Carolina is head and shoulders above everybody else this year.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I tell you, my friend Dawn always shoots her a message and say, hey, you know, I'm like, hey, all right, big time. I said, I played with you. Don't get too big. She's like, oh, Roo-Roo, I ain't never too big. You know you can call me. And so I give her a hard time. But I'm so proud of her and what she's doing. And you know what? And I'm not really surprised. Dawn Staley wasn't like a player, like a really high spotlight player. But she was such a playmaker. Like, she wasn't a point guard. There was a difference, a point guard and a playmaker. She made plays. She knew when the right person that was on fire, she just knew the tempo of the game so well. So I think that's what she's transferred over to her coaching ability, and just being able to inspire her kids and motivate them and teach them how to think for themselves. I think that's the key as a coach, and learn how to, and make your players want to run through a brick wall for you. And that's what she does. I told her one of the favorite things I remember about her as a player was, I remember I was having a horrible game. I couldn't buy a basket. And she passed me the ball, and I was like, and I was scared to shoot. She said, listen, she pulled me by my shirt. She said, listen here, if you're ever in the game with me, if I pass you the ball, guess what? I want you to shoot. But guess what? If Ruthie Bolton shoot, there's a pretty good chance you're going to make it. I don't care how many you miss. She said, I'm your coach on the court. Don't even look at the sideline, you know? I was like, okay. And just that, she did really put me in a space where I made my – I think I was player of the game. Like, she really – so by that, I always bring it up to her that she really was a great teacher on the court, and she made me want to play, you know, in spite of my mistakes.
Well, she's obviously doing a great job. I know last time we talked, you were thinking about getting involved with the Auburn program. Have you thought any more about that, or how's
man,
that
listen,
going?
Listen, I'm ready right now. If they call me right now, I got my little bag packed over here to the left, and I'll be right there, you know. I always remind the coach. I say, hey, coach, I'm just sending you a message reminding you, hey, I'm ready when you are. And I just would love to just be able to. I don't care about the spotlight. I don't care what the title is. I can be behind the scenes somewhere where I'm sitting there watching video with the girls, because I think it's special at this place, because that's where everything started for me. You know, anytime I share my story and I speak all over the world, I can't share my story without talking about the Auburn experience. Okay, so I think that would resonate with a lot of the players, because I came in, they came in better than me. They all got recruited. They all came in being really wanted. I came in practically almost walked on as quiet as kept. I'm like, so to be able to let this be a pivotal point in my life, to look up there and see 25 engraved that'll never go away, and I almost came this close and not even playing basketball. Like, I know that I can portray what I want my message to portray, and not so much about me, but so that the young girls can see a reflection. It's like, you know what? I ain't got it as bad as I think I got it. Oh, yeah, I can hear you giving me that inspiration and just persevere. When I want to quit, hearing your story make me not want to quit, make me want to just push and push. And you know what? And this is another message right here, Doug, that I want them to know. And I feel like I can sort of, that my life speaks, is that to fall in love with the process of getting better. We all want to get better. We all want to be this, you know, I want to be a winning team. We want to do this and do that. Fall in love with getting better first. When you fall in love with getting better, guess what? The winning is going to take care of itself. All the other stuff just going to fall in place. But you fall in love, and that's what Chantel Trimentier, actually, when she actually reminded me of that. She said, Ruthie, you played more than I did, and you did more. Not so much, you know, okay, yeah, you know, you got guns and you strong, she always say. She said, but you fell in love with getting better. I was all cocky, thought I was all that in the bag of chips. And I just thought because Coach Hampton loved me and liked me, he was going to play me anytime I wanted to play. But that wasn't the case. She said, you were playing catch up. And I watched you, and you fell in love with getting better. And to me, that's the message. Fall in love with becoming the best version of you. I know I talk about my be bold, be mighty, be you. I got my sweatshirt on now. Fall in love with becoming the best version of you. And I'm telling you, the rest will fall into place.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, you've been traveling a great bit, talking to different people. And we were talking a minute ago about you're speaking to kids and making a difference in their lives. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing.
Oh man, it's been a blessing. I wear my two whistles, and I got to add a third with 2023. I wear my whistle as a reminder that everybody that listening, we're in a sense of urgency. We're in a state of emergency, a country of emergency in these schools. I can't sit by when I hear about a young girl that says, life sucks. I might well jump off a bridge. And she literally leaves school and go down the street a half a mile from the school and jumps off a bridge. Oh, I can't sit by and hear that a fifth grader went home. Well, I think he might have been seventh grader. This is in Mississippi. Go home and just, you know, say life sucks and nobody really pays attention to this person. They go home and they hang themselves. To me, that has to be, we got to be intentional. We got to be proactive. So I wear my whistle as we got to be in the full court press. When you play the game of basketball, when you're in the full court press, you're intentional. You're trying to create, you're trying to. And so I use as an analogy to basketball. So I love going to school, sharing with these students and letting them know they matter. Letting them know that there is something on the other side of their pain. That that they can turn their pain into power. And that this too shall pass. Giving them some hope. I can't give them all the answer, but giving you hope to say that, you know what? I'm here with you. I'm in the trenches with you. I want to come shoulder to shoulder with you. So that really is one of my passions. It's more important to me than basketball, to be honest. My purpose, Doug, is bigger than me. My purpose is bigger than basketball. My purpose is Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, much is required. And so I want to continue to inspire the kids and students. So I'm pleading to get in every school as I can, early elementary, to sit down with these students and tell this little girl, Bella, you know what? You matter. There's nobody in the world with half your set of fingerprints. You matter. All that we can ask, you be the best version of you. And I'm here to help you do that, to find that you got a gift. Little Johnny, little Junebug, little Sally, you got a gift. And we got to change the narrative. So, and I was just speaking with my high school teacher of 50. She taught 16 of my 20 family members. And she would tell me that I was really quiet as a little girl. I was so quiet. Like that, my twin brother took all of my words. I wouldn't say nothing, but I was a good leader. And I would just, you know, I would just sort of reserve. But I told her, I said, I think I was learning. I was watching and listening and learning. And she said she would have never thought that I would be a person that would speak because I was just so quiet. But I feel like I was in that stage of learning. But now I got my words back, twin brother. I told my twin, I got my word back and I got my power back. Hey, if I didn't have this hoodie, I could show you my muscle. So anyway, my thing right now is to really get into as many schools as possible to really, and I know the teachers got a challenge. It's a lot for the teachers, the staff, the everyday operations, but I feel like God has blessed me and put me in a space where it takes that to understand the importance of getting into these schools. And I have two curriculums I'm working on, one for elementary, called the Heart of a Champion, and then I have one for middle school called Mighty, called Aim High. But all this is for the kids to know that, you know what, that they can get through, that they can, and that they matter. I'm like, the world needs your gift. The world needs your gift, girl, young, you know, from the elementary to middle school on up. But I feel like I want, they're like, I feel like the youth are like wet cement. Like they are so impressionable. And I feel like the world is trying to steal them. The world is trying to steal their heart. So I feel like we as leaders, we as influencers got to get there before the world gets there. And I'm in a full court press. Hey, I've already accepted a calling. I got my hand up. I'm ready. It's game time. Like I blow my whistle, it's game time. We got a lot of work to do. Hey, anybody ready to be on this team? It's game time. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about influencing lives. And to me, that's the biggest three-point play. You know, if 3-1 play feel good, hit the three or shooting and get fouled, the biggest 3-point play is to be able to reach back and to be able to help some young girl, some young boy, give them hope and let them and show them, let them realize their talent. And also, last but not least, Doug, remind them to just dream, not just dream, but to dream big. And sometimes if I feel in my blood, I'll shout it with them. Dream big. If you want it, you can do it. Dream big. Pour your heart into it. If it were dreaming about, you might as well. If it were dreaming about, you might as well. Dream big.
All right, there you have it. Ruthie Bolton singing this afternoon for us on our interview there that was pre-recorded, and who wouldn't want her to talk to their elementary class? I tell you what, she is something else. Ruthie Bolton, the Auburn legend and gold medal winner. Great to have her on the show tonight, and we'll have her back again so we can talk some more this basketball season. And when we come back, as we mentioned before, we're going to talk some football and the brand new color analyst for the Auburn Football Network is former quarterback Jason Campbell. We're going to listen into our interview with Jason also and get his thoughts on the recruiting and the portal for the Auburn Tigers and his new role as the football analyst. We'll talk to Jason Campbell when we come back on Tiger Talk Overtime. Glad you're with us.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome back into the show. Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. Glad you're with us talking some Auburn athletics and Auburn football and basketball. And the Auburn gymnastics team again in action tomorrow night, Friday night at Neville Arena against North Carolina State, out of conference as well as the basketball team. Wanted to mention just a bit earlier, didn't get a chance to, Aiden Holloway, the Tigers basketball recruit, the five-star, 6 foot, 155 pounds from Matthews, North Carolina, has been named a basketball McDonald's All-American, just the fifth ever for the Auburn Tigers. So congratulations to Aiden, and looking forward to seeing him play in the future on the Plains. Coming up in football, the of course, spring practice is not far away, and the A-Day game coming up the first weekend in April, so exciting to see what Coach Hugh Freeze and the team will do during their first spring on the Plains. A lot of anticipation there. And this week, the news that former Auburn quarterback Jason Campbell has been named the new color analyst for the Auburn Radio Network. And a little earlier this week, I had the chance to talk to Jason about that and about his thoughts on Auburn football in general. All right, Jason, congratulations once again on becoming the color analyst for the Auburn Radio Network. I know that's something you've been thinking about a little bit, a long tradition of quarterbacks there. I remember listening to Charlie Trotman when I was in high school, and then Pat Sullivan, and of course, Stan White, who's been doing it for the past 22 years, and now Jason Campbell. So congratulations.
No, I appreciate it. I'm thinking that this is like the Heisman Trophy, you know, it just goes to the quarterbacks. You know, definitely excited about this opportunity, looking forward to it. Basically just, you know, much appreciation for Stan and everything he's done for 22 years. Now, that's a long time. And also just being a great mentor and helping me over the last couple of years. You know, I've been doing pregame, I've been doing the halftime analyst, but now to be promoted up to the, you know, the color analyst along with Andy, you know, it definitely means a lot. And, you know, I just feel like from a preparation standpoint, I've kind of learned a lot just being in the booth with those guys. And it makes the transition a lot easier, the fact that I already know everyone that's in that booth with me.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with Stan. Obviously, he's been doing it for a while. What have you learned from him? What kind of things would you like to do the same? And are there some things that you'd like to do differently?
Yeah, me and Stan developed a really good friendship through this. I've had opportunity, like I said, to get to know his boys, you know, who he can't wait to get close to this fall and, you know, coach them up and be make memories with them as well. At the same time, I've seen Stan call games in his own way. You know, I've seen him break some boards. I've seen him, you know, break in half some of his call sheets, you know. So I've seen some animation side of Stan, but he does it in such a fun way and in a Stan way. And, you know, I have to do it in Jason Campbell's way. I will say this, though. I have to pick his brain a lot about just things to look forward to, you know, how you handle certain situations and, you know, and to understand more about what the role consists of. And then from that standpoint, you put your own spin on it. You be who you are. It's hard to try to implement other people. You know, you just can't. You know, everyone is special in their own way. And I just have to do it the way that I know how to do it and just enjoy it. You know, have fun and everything.
Mm-hmm. I know you're looking forward to A-Day, to actually getting in the booth and getting that underway and stop thinking about it ahead of time. But I know you had some quarterbacks that you looked up to growing up. What about broadcasters? Did you ever think about that, or is anybody that you like?
I'll tell you what, broadcast for me, I remember going to college, I got into communications. That was my first major, and then I kind of switched it over to public administration halfway through, and I got a chance to intern with Mayor Ham at the time, who was in Auburn as the mayor. And I got a chance to go out to Coach Pat Dye's forum a lot that year, my senior year, because I had already graduated. And, you know, I got a chance to pick their brains about football, about how things operate within the city, just from the standpoint of how things come in and out of the city, how things get voted on. So I got a chance to learn a lot of different things and everything during that time. And for me, once I got into the NFL, there's always a camera in front of your face when you're the NFL quarterback. And being in Washington, D.C., you know, you're in the nation's capital. You know, I got a chance to be on a lot of TV shows. And then you go out to California, I had a chance to be on multiple TV shows. And then once I retired from football, I instantly got involved with NBC Washington up in D.C. covering that team. And then I got tied this the past year. I was going to New York every other week doing a CBS for Monday NFL quarterback. And so, you know, I've had a lot of experiences. I've had job offers to do TV in the NFL covering games. But to me, Auburn just feels like home. You know, it's another home for my wife and I who graduated from Auburn as well. And just for us, just, you know, I want to enjoy what I do and love to do it and be able to do it, but want to do it in a place that you enjoy going to. And for me, it would just continue to be a part of this Auburn program, continue to help be a resource for some of these younger guys. And for me, it just made a lot more sense to just continue it. And instead of trying to go do all that traveling, covering TV games, this just means more to do it for Auburn.
Mm-hmm. I know you've listened to Auburn highlights over and over again during when you were at Auburn and since then, but will you go back and listen to old guys and see what they did, see what they sounded like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I most definitely will. Once I finish renovations and actually, you know, get settled in. But I'm going to definitely go back and listen to some of the guys and how they called. Everyone remember the great calls that Rod Bramley had. He had two historic calls in 1 year, you know, the Georgia game and the Alabama game. And then you think about the Stan game when I was playing against LSU in 04. And we hit the big play on the sideline to Courtney Taylor, and then we hit the touchdown to Courtney Taylor in the back of the end zone, and the place just erupting, and you can hear the call between Rod and Stan and everything at that time. And, you know, you can go back to just, you know, it's just a lot of memories that you understand. If you have a great call, that call can last a long time. It can be a long lasting effect in the Auburn community.
Yeah. One of the calls I remember is actually, I guess Stan was hurt back in the Alabama game, and Patrick Nix threw the floater to Frank Sanders down there for the touchdown. I thought that was one of Jim Fife's best calls ever.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. Everyone has that niche. You know, everyone has that one call, you know, that makes a surreal play. And, you know, that's the ones that you kind of build on. But I also think that comes with time, too. I think that comes with just getting experience, kind of catching your rhythm, getting that niche, and then just getting into a comfort zone. And then once you get into a comfort zone of just knowing how you want to call games and how you want to anticipate calls and how you want to react to certain calls, and how you think the fans want to hear certain calls. You know, a lot of what I'm going to do is try to, you know, extend a lot of knowledge that I know about the game, just from the aspect of breaking down certain things that I'm seeing that if you sit at home on the couch that you may not really pay much attention to. And to just bring that to the fan base and to help people see it from a deeper level. But also bring some excitement to it. Like I said, Stan was very excited at how he did it. You know, I think his favorite word was, that was holding. That was holding. All the way, that was holding.
Yeah. That's every coach.
Right. Every right. He would look back at me in the booth, to be like, that was holding. Mm. You know, but I just think every guy has their niche and everyone develops that over time. You know, I'd be remiss to say, oh, I just hopped right in there day one and I just have certain major calls. No, that will come with time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know also great broadcasters usually go with great teams. So let's talk about the Auburn Tigers a little bit. We were talking a second ago about the portal and the signing period, but how do you think Auburn has done? Most people are thinking pretty well, and they're pretty happy with the way that Hugh Freeze has gone about his business so far.
Yeah, I think you have to be excited with what you've seen. You think about where we were when he got the job from a recruiting standpoint. I believe we was ranked somewhere in the 50s or lower 60s.
60, yeah.
And now we're in the top 15 from a recruiting class, transfer portal. Some people have us ranked one, some people have us ranked two. Neither one of those are bad spots to be in. And when you think about who we got in the transfer portal, we addressed needs. That was the main thing. We needed some offensive linemen. We lost a lot of them to graduation. And you only had two that was back on scholarship. So you had to go out and shore up that position. And we ended up signing three of the top five guys in offensive linemen in the transfer portal. And I almost had a fourth. If you think about from a tight end perspective, you know, we got some guys that are solid in the run game, blocking game, but we needed that big tight end that can go catch the ball and help stretch the field. You get Rivaldo Fairweather from FAU, you know, a big 6'6 guy that can go and catch it and gets a long wingspan. You think about outside, we got Nick Martner, the 6'6 receiver from Cincinnati. You know, we have some receivers on this team, but we don't have that big, tall guy that you can throw those one-on-one balls up to in the red zone and got to go up and get it. And now you have that. You think about the defensive side of the ball. You know, defensive line is what we needed. Kobe Wooten's gone. Derrick Hall's gone. You know, what we do, Owen Papo's gone. So what you do in that position, you sure up Lawrence Johnson from Purdue. You sure up Mosiah Kite from Maryland. You go get Justin Rogers from Kentucky. And then at the linebacker position, you get DeMario Tolan from LSU and Austin Keys from Ole Miss, guys that already have experience. So you put guys in there that you don't really have to worry about experience. You know, these guys are already experienced. Why you can let some of your younger guys gain that experience? And I thought getting Keldrick Fault was extremely huge, flipping him from Florida State over to Auburn. You know, he's now a five-star based off what I've seen here lately. And, you know, he was a huge get for us at that defensive end position. Elijah McAllister from Vanderbilt, getting him in the transfer portal at the same position as well, gives us some stability there and gives us some experience. So I think we've done a really good job. But I thought his best recruiting was getting DJ James to come back for another year and getting Nehemiah Pritchard to come back for another year, because we do live in a pass-happy league. And yes, teams do run the football, but they can get pass-happy a lot. But to have your secondary, when you got two outside corners that's coming back to the seniors that you can depend on, that helps you do a lot of different blitzes and a lot of different looks up front, because you know you have experienced corners.
No question about it. Looking forward to seeing DJ in action again this fall for the Auburn Tigers and Nehemiah Pritchett. Those guys will help out a lot. We'll see a couple of Tigers next week at the Senior Bowl, as Derrick Hall and Eku Leota will be in town for that, and hopefully we'll be hooking up with them. We'll have some more from Jason in just a minute as we talk about the Auburn quarterback situation, a little bit about Robbie Ashford, and more. Glad you're with us tonight, Thursday night, on Tiger Talk Overtime as the Tigers get ready for West Virginia Saturday in the SEC Big 12 Challenge right here on FM Talk 106.5 at 11 o'clock Saturday morning. Back with more of Tiger Talk Overtime in just a minute.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome back in, everybody. And we want to remind you again, Auburn, West Virginia, as we mentioned, going to break in the SEC Big 12 Challenge coming up Saturday at 11 o'clock right here on FM Talk 106.5. And we want to remind you also to go by and see our great friends at Nixon's in Midtown for the game. If you want to watch it there, they've got some great big screens. They've got 22 beers on tap, 8 wines on tap, and some great sandwiches and wraps for you to enjoy during the ball game. So go by and see the great people at Nixon's in Midtown, right across from the Dew Drop Inn. Everybody knows where that is. The Auburn game at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. All right, let's get back to our conversation now with Jason Campbell, the new color analyst for the Auburn Tigers. He's going to do the A-Day game coming up in April, and then he will take over for Stan White next fall for the Auburn Tigers radio team. And I had a chance to ask Jason also about the quarterback situation, Robbie Ashford and Hugh Freeze and the offensive coordinator, Montgomery, how they will mesh this coming season.
What do you think the match between Hugh Freeze's offense and Robbie Ashford, a healthy Robbie Ashford, is that a good mix?
Well, I say this, I think Robbie has to be super excited just from the standpoint you see what he did with Malik Willis. You got Malik transferred from Auburn to Liberty, and he was able to turn him into a draft pick into the NFL. And now you look at the aspect of, you know, what Robbie can do with his legs as far as his getting out of pocket, extending plays. Those are things that you can't coach. But the things that he needs to get better at is his arm angles, his throwing ability, his being more accurate. Hitting the easy throws when they're there to be hit, you know, not making the simple things look hard. Those are the things that he would focus on with him from the quarterback position. The other aspect of it is you don't have a lot of experience behind him. Holden Garner is a kid that was, you know, pretty much redshirted last year, but an All-American in high school. And, you know, everyone, you know, waves about his arm talent that he has. And I think, you know, he's kind of a forgotten piece here that, you know, this kid is probably going to try to push Robbie. And, you know, he's probably going to get out there and compete and everything, because there is a new regime. I think everyone's competing for positions. I don't think there's positions that are just set in stone. I think guys are going to have to go out there and compete this spring and everything. That typically brings out the better of your whole football team when you're doing that. But I think Robbie has to be chomping at the bit, though, to understand I got not just Coach Freeze, but Coach Montgomery, who had RG3 when he was at Baylor. And what he was able to do with him in that offense. So, you know, you have to just be a sponge right now and soak up knowledge if you're him from those two coaches.
Yeah. Going to be exciting. What about the job you've been doing, Jason, with the NIL? Are you going to continue to do that for Auburn, or will that go to the side with your new responsibilities?
No, I'm going to continue to do that. You know, I think NIL is very important. It gives me an opportunity actually to know these kids on a personal level. So when I'm talking about them up in the booth, you know, I can talk from a personal aspect because I know their character, I know their demeanors and different things. So, you know, you get a chance to just speak high volumes of them because you know a little bit more in depth. I also utilize this opportunity to continue to be a resource and a mentor to these young guys. Like I tell them, like NIL is not lifetime changing money. It's just great starter money to life. You know, NFL is your generational wealth and different things like that. I say, but you have to know how to save your money. You have to know how to take care of a little bit before you take care of a lot. And then the other aspect of that is making sure these guys keep their focus where it needs to be. Let's not forget about the academics and what the importance of getting that degree while you're here. You know, let's not forget about saving your money while you're here. So when you leave college, 97% of the guys that come through that locker room do not go pro, and 3% have that opportunity to go pro. I said, but if you don't, you're still come out of this thing 98% ahead of people that comes through college because you don't have student loan debt. I said, but at the same time, you have great starter money to life if you have saved your money. So it's a great opportunity for them to understand those things and to understand the importance of relationships, though. That's the thing. Like, people reach out to you a lot because you build relationships with people. And that's what a lot of these guys don't understand, that me and my former teammates, we have a relationship with each other. We love one another. We supported one another. And it's shown over and over. It's shown in the Cadillac when he got the interim coaching job. It's shown, you know, here with me here recently getting announced as the color analyst, all the guys that have reached out and everything. So the support has been phenomenal. And that's all because of relationships. And I think these guys with the transfer portal and everything, is guys in and out of the locker room, there's so much going on, and guys can easily start focusing on the money aspect and not understanding, like, guys, we're going to go as far as we stay focused on what's the most important things, not the money. And I think those are things that we have to instill and make sure that it's at the forefront and not let the main things get lost.
Mm-hmm. I meant to ask you about your guys you played with a little bit, Cadillac. We talked to Kendall last week, Ronnie Brown, of course, a member of the Auburn network, to a number of the guys that you played with are involved. Cadillac, when he was the interim head coach in the fall, I didn't really think about it, but to him, it was a big deal being the first African-American head coach at Auburn. And I don't think has anybody asked you that yet? You're the first African-American football analyst at Auburn. Is that, what do you think about that?
Yeah, it is a big deal. You sit down and you think about it, you know, because what I do and what Lack have done, you know, we're opening doors for those to come behind us. And, you know, so we have a big role and a big, you know, responsibility in what we do. And you just think about it from an overall aspect. I was just sitting here today realizing that I'm the third color analyst that Auburn has ever had in 43 years. And hey, you think about it, you're like, wow. You know, that's a tremendous honor to be in that aspect of that number, and to be able to make guys around you look at things differently in life. You know, like, you don't always have to chase down things. You know, you just work hard and do what you have to do and build yourself up and build, you know, and have integrity about things and build relationships with people. Things will have a way of coming knocking on your door. I always tell guys, you chase down money, it'll leave you faster than you was chasing it. I said, but if you work extremely hard, things will find you more than you could have ever imagined. I was like, you know, God has a way of working things out that way. I said, but I just don't, my main focus was always just do what you love to do and enjoy it, regardless of whatever it is. Just make sure you love what you do and you're getting an opportunity. Not many people can say that. A lot of people have to do things that they don't love to do, you know, just to put food on the table. I was just like, but I'm in a position I can do something that I love to do, and I don't take it for granted. And I get a chance to do it for a place that I love.
It's going to be fun to listen to Jason Campbell this spring at the A-Day game, and also next fall, and hopefully for many years to come, as the new color analyst for the Auburn Radio Network. Congratulations again to Jason. It's amazing. When I used to cover Jason, we could hardly get him to talk. And now you can't stop him from talking. And the same for Ruthie Bolton. She told me today the story about she was a little bit delayed. She ran into her elementary school teacher, who reminded her of how quiet she was. Can you imagine that? How quiet she was as a young child growing up. And now she has blossomed into quite an entrepreneur and an ambassador for Auburn Athletics and Auburn University. It's amazing what those two have done and will do for Auburn now and in the future. Thanks for being with us tonight. Great to have those two on the show, and good luck to Coach Bruce Pearl and the Auburn Tigers as they get ready for the ball game Saturday. Once again, the SEC Big 12 Challenge, Auburn and West Virginia, 11 o'clock Saturday morning right here on FM Talk 106.5. We invite you to join us for that. And also remember our great friends at Nixon's. That'll do it for this week's show. We'll see you again next week here on Tiger Talk Overtime.
It'll be Senior Bowl week. We'll have some Tiger senior bowlers with us, hopefully, and we'll talk a lot more Auburn football and basketball. We'll see you next time. Until then, Doug Holton saying War Eagle, and so long, everybody.